The Time Traveler's Guide to Not Getting Caught. Chapter 10, That Time I Ended Prohibition in America. Now you probably don't remember, but at one point, it wasn't until 1985 when America finally ended Prohibition. Apparently, my buddy had traveled back to Chicago in the 1920s and wanted to prevent his great-grandfather from dying from tainted underground booze, so he made it his mission to diminish the black market on alcohol. But in so doing, he inadvertently prolonged the Prohibition era, changing history. My buddy told me the reason Prohibition originally ended was because politicians deemed it unenforceable, and everyone just kind of gave up on it and made it illegal again. But since he successfully undermined the black market, he prolonged Prohibition. So my goal was clear. I was going to travel back to the 1920s and make sure the black market on alcohol was stronger than ever. And to do that, I would have to join the Mafia. Now the challenge seemed tough, but it was in America, so at least people would be speaking English. And one thing was for sure, this time I wouldn't be putting my hand in any shit. No more shit hands. So I get home and I think, instead of going to work or going back in time, first, I would download Tinder and go on a date because, honestly, I was a little bored and lonely and I could use a little company from people from my own time. So I download the app and I right swipe a bunch of girls and I wait a couple of days, but I don't get any matches. So I change my profile and I add a picture of me with my shirt off that I photoshopped to make my abs look really good. And yet, I still didn't get any matches. So then I decided to download Bumble and again, I don't get any matches and I start to wonder if maybe these apps are all broken. So I reach out to the companies and I tell them their app is defective and they get back to me and they say it isn't broken and that I just wasn't getting any matches. And then they tell me I should consider taking off the part of my bio where I say DTF. But I refuse because it's just a joke and I want a girl with a good sense of humor, or at the very least my sense of humor, which really that's what everyone wants when they say they want a good sense of humor. But I mean, most of those people who say they want a good sense of humor don't even have a good sense of humor. So instead I thought, I'll just borrow some 1920s clothes and travel back to Chicago. So I put in the date and tunes into my watch and I go back in time. And I suddenly find myself in the roaring 20s. And I'm thinking, finally, I'm in a time when girls were down to party. At least more so than they were in my stupid time where everyone's prude who doesn't get funny DTF jokes. So I get to Chicago, and I check the notes my time travel buddy had given me, but this time they were a little more vague. Like I couldn't just find him and smear his butt with poop. Instead, I was gonna have to infiltrate the Mafia and make sure they did a better job distributing alcohol so that the country was forced to lift Prohibition. Now I wanted to go about this journey differently than I had with the French Revolution. Going back to Napoleon times was all about poop, and since I knew I'd have to be in this time period for a while as I helped the Mafia reform their business model, figured I should dig in a little and start off by enjoying myself. Because if I was enjoying myself, I would be a better hero to the world. So I get to 1920 Chicago and I find a speakeasy. And I go in and immediately I'm like, yes, finally some good old-fashioned American fun. There was music and illegal booze and girls. I mean, what more do you need? It was totally better than the stupid French Revolution and especially better than the Renaissance because I wasn't having to look at a bunch of dicks. But it probably wasn't as good as Athens. Just saying. So I find a seat at the speakeasy and I listen to a guy play the saxophone and suddenly I have the urge to get up and dance. But then I remember I'm a terrible dancer so I shouldn't do it. But then I wondered if I'd be considered a good dancer by 1920s standards. But then I figured it definitely wasn't worth finding out because if I did suck, I'd have to relive the humiliation all over again. And that's when I see some tough-looking Italian guy whispering to the bartender and I figure, oh shit, that guy's totally in the Mafia. And I realize I need to impress this mobster so he'll let me in the Mafia. But I have no idea how to impress him, so I'm just sitting there gawking at him when the guy looks over at me and he says, do you have a problem? And so I say, what, you talking to me? Are you talking to me? Because I saw it in Taxi Driver, and I know that it doesn't have anything to do with the Mafia, but I'm going to be perfectly honest here and tell you that I was really nervous I was going to die, so I just said the first thing that came to mind. I mean, sure, I could have just said, no, sir, please don't hurt me. But instead, I went full De Niro. And that's when I got the shit kicked out of me. Now, I'm not proud of this, and I'd rather not have to tell you how I got beat up, But I will say that it involved my getting dragged out of the speakeasy and kicked several times in the stomach. Which, I mean, was totally unnecessary because his point was to show me he was the boss, and he definitely did that with the first kick to my gut. So I'm laying there in pain and the guy asks me again, "Do you have a problem?" And that's when I finally say, "No, sir, please stop hurting me." So the mobster leaves and I drag myself to a nearby alley where I piss some blood before I make my way back to the speakeasy because before the beating, I was actually having a pretty good time in there. And most of the damage the mobster did was to my stomach, so my face was still in pretty good shape, so I figured, why not head back in and try to pick up a flapper? So I head back into the speakeasy and the mobster spots me and says, "Do you want more ass kicking?" And I say, "No, sir, please don't hurt me." And that's when a friend of his appears with a big grin and asks what's going on. And the guy who kicked my ass tells his friend he just kicked my ass and that I still came back inside. And the friend says that it takes a lot of moxie to do that. And I say, "Thanks. I appreciate your saying that. Are you looking to hire? Is there a job opening in your organization?" And then the guy looks at me and he asks me what type of job I'm looking for. And I say, "I'm a legitimate businessman looking for a legitimate business." And he says that they so happen to specialize in legitimate business, so I say, "Great, can I send you my resume?" And then he gives me a time and place to meet him tomorrow and tells me not to be late. And I say, "You can count on me." And then I go to the bathroom and I speed ahead to tomorrow. So I go to the location and I meet up with this guy. And he says if I want to join their business, I was going to have to show him how good of a businessman I was. And then he hands me a gun. Now, it was at this time that I was pretty sure I was gonna have to kill someone to prove my worth. And whereas I find murder completely immoral, I also didn't like the idea of getting my ass kicked again, and I had also promised my time travel buddy that I would do all I could to help him out, so I figured I'd just go along with this whole thing, and when the time came for me to decide whether or not to murder someone, that I'd just see where my head was at with it all. So I get in the car with the guy who kicked my ass, and he looks over at me and he asks if I've ever painted a house before. And I lie and I say, "When I was 5, my dad and I painted a house together." And the guy looks at me and asks if I was shitting him and I say, "No, my dad really wanted me to learn how to paint a house." And that was the end of the conversation. Now, it wasn't until several years later when I watched The Irishman over 3 sittings when I learned that painting houses actually meant murdering people because you would shoot them in the head and their blood would then paint the walls. So the guy who kicked my ass takes me to this restaurant and we go inside and he tells the owner that he and his associates are offering security services for him and his business. And the owner says he doesn't need any security and the guy who kicked my ass puts his hand on the owner's shoulder and tells him he needs it. And the owner says, "Okay, I'll take your services." And I'm thinking, holy shit, this guy is a great businessman. So we go back to the car and I ask the guy who kicked my ass where we were going to next. And he tells me they did all the work that they needed to and that we have the rest of the day off. And I'm thinking, whoa, all I had to do was stand and watch this guy threaten someone for a minute and now I'm done with work for the day? It was at this time that I knew I wanted to be a mobster. It wouldn't be until later when I saw the guy who kicked my ass get shot in the face that I decided I did not want to be one. So I'm driving around in this car with the guy who kicked my ass and he asked me if I'm hungry. And I say, "Cha." And then he asks me if I like Italian food. And I say, "No." And the guy looks at me like he's about to paint my face and he asks, "You don't like Italian food?" And then I say, "I don't like Italian food. I love it." And he lets out a big laugh and then I laugh harder than him and then he laughs harder than me and then we went and got some spaghetti and meatballs. While we're eating our meal, we meet up with the guy who sent us on the mission and the guy who kicked my ass tells him I'm actually a good guy. And so the two mobsters decide that I should meet their boss, Al Capone. So they take me to Al Capone's mansion where I have just a great cannoli. And then Al Capone asks me if I can be trusted or not. And I say, "I totally can be trusted. Tell me what you want me to do and I will do it." And so Al Capone hands me a gun and he tells me to shoot the guy who kicked my ass. And so this was the moment. This was the moment where I had to decide whether or not I was going to kill somebody. And it really didn't take me that long to decide to pull the trigger. So I fire at the guy who kicked my ass, but he doesn't get shot because apparently the gun was never loaded and this was just a way to see if I would actually be loyal to Al Capone or not, which I totally proved myself. Although I gotta say, it did kind of hurt my friendship with the guy who kicked my ass because he never looked at me the same way ever again. But to be fair, I kind of owed him one for kicking my ass. So then Al Capone asks me if I'm hungry, and I say no. And he looks at me like he's about to paint every house I've ever lived in, and he asks, "You're not hungry?" And I say, "No, I'm not hungry. I'm starving." And then Al Capone and I laugh, and the guy who kicked my ass joins in, and then we're all laughing together. So we go to another Italian restaurant, and I have some chicken parmesan, and Al Capone asks me if I have any specific talents. And I tell him that I'm a business major from Harvard, and he looks super impressed, and he asks me if I could help him with a floundering business he had been partaking in, and I say, yeah, sure, I'll help you. So he tells me how he and his legitimate business partners have been making and distributing alcohol, and that things had been going really well. But now the business was no longer profitable. And I ask him why he thinks the business isn't doing well, and he says that fewer and fewer speakeasies were buying alcohol because of police crackdowns. And I listen to the story, and I instantly know what needs to be done. I tell him, look, Al, your problem is that you need someone on the inside. You need a cop ally. And he tells me he has police allies. And I say, yeah, but they're people you bribe. They aren't people who are loyal to you. I tell him, what you need to do is to covertly get one of your mobsters in the police force and then have him work his way up so that he can make sure that the cops aren't cracking down on your speakeasies. So Al Capone looks at me and he says, that's really smart. And I say, yeah, you just need to find your own Matt Damon. And he has no clue what I'm talking about because he had never seen The Departed, but he goes along with my plan anyway. So I tell him for the plan to work, he has to pick someone he trusts, but that nobody else knows is involved in the mob. And he says he knows the perfect person. So he introduces me to this young guy that's going to infiltrate the police. And then I walk this young Matt Damon through the entire storyline of The Departed, minus the Leo DiCaprio part because I didn't want to give anyone any idea that I was in some way an undercover cop. So we successfully infiltrate the Matt Damon mole into the police. And immediately, he starts helping us out, telling us when the police were going to raid the speakeasies. So every time we got a tip, we told the speakeasy owner so they could stash all the alcohol before the raid happened, and it worked like a charm. Our business was thriving, and we kept getting more and more speakeasies to buy our booze. But our continued success meant that other people wanted to get in on it as well. And then suddenly, we had outside mafia competition threatening our legitimate business, which meant the guy who kicked my ass had to go around painting neighborhoods. Now, I want to make something very clear. Sure, I tagged along with the guy who kicked my ass on his paint jobs, but I did not participate in any of the murders. I mean, yeah. Sure, I drove him to the murders and occasionally loaded his gun for him, but I never pulled the trigger. And even if I did, he was just killing other bad guys, so in the grand scheme of things, was I really doing something bad? So anyway, everything is going super well and according to plan. Society was discovering they couldn't enforce prohibition, and we were making a lot of money in the process. Al Capone was so happy with everything I was doing, so he gave me tens of dollars, which was actually a lot back then. And I spent them on taking out beautiful 1920s women to restaurants. I met this one girl, and I wanted to take her to this fancy restaurant. But when we got to the place, there was this super long line. But because I knew the owner, I was able to walk her through the kitchen to the restaurant. But when we got there, there wasn't an empty table. But it was okay because they brought one up from the basement and made us a table, and my date was super impressed, and I totally got laid that night. But then, things got kinda not great. One night, I'm at a speakeasy with the guy who kicked my ass, when we spot an outsider trying to take over our territory. So the guy who kicked my ass goes up to the poacher and tells him he better leave town or he's gonna kill him. And then, the poacher pulls out a gun and shoots the guy who kicked my ass in the face. And that's when I noped out of the 1920s and just assumed I had successfully ended prohibition. But if I hadn't, I figured it really didn't matter that much because at least I tried, and who really cares anyway? I mean, it's all in the past. So I get home, and I rewatch The Departed, and I decide I need to take a little break from this whole time-traveling hero thing. My next adventure would be all about me. Writing something that went wrong in my own life, because you know what? I deserved it. And one thing I had always wished would be different was that I would have made a move on the love of my life back in 2010. She was my babysitter, and 10 years older than me, so she never looked at me the way that I looked at her. But now, we would be the same age, so I decided I would travel back in time and make her fall in love with me. And man, it's a great story. Thanks for listening, and please subscribe and rate the podcast to help me get more of the positive attention I so sorely need. Follow the show on Instagram at Time Traveler's Guide Podcast, and me at Anonymous Time Traveler 69. New episodes out Thursday nights at 8.